Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show. We're here today with Judge Tom Jacobs. He's been on our show once before, but it's always such a privilege and an honor to have Judge Tom Jacobs with us. You can follow along on his website while we're speaking to him for the next hour at askthejudge.info. But Tom has spent 36 years practicing juvenile, criminal, and family law in Arizona before retiring in 2008. But, you know, it doesn't sound like you're retiring, really. He was a Superior Court. No, you're not. He was a Superior Court judge, pro tem commissioner. Did I say
That's
that
correct.
Right? Okay, for
That's
23
right.
years, and you write law books for teenagers, parents, teachers, lawyers, and judges, and you taught law at Arizona State University School of Social Work for 10 years, and you're the founder of askthejudge.info, which is a wonderful wealth of information and educational website for and about teenagers and the laws that affect them. And your current teen law books include Teen Cyberbullying Investigated, which was published in 2010. And then in 2011, you have Where Are My Rights? The Q&A about teens and the law, and both are from Free Spirit Publishing. So welcome, and thank you for being with us for the full hour. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Yeah, we love having you on. I know the last time you were on, we had a number of questions and so forth. So I know people are really looking forward to this hour, and I know I actually told several members of our community here that you were going to be on. So I know there's a lot of school officials here in Maine listening to the show also. So kind of a neat thing this time to have some principals and superintendents and so forth listening.
Good.
With your website, though, aside from all the school officials and all that, are you really speaking directly to the teens, to the parents of the teens, to all the teachers and so forth, or are you speaking to everyone with that website?
Well, we are, the foundation of the site is the book you mentioned. Actually, the title of the book is What Are My Rights? And that came out in the late 90s, and then we put out the third edition in October of last year, 2011, and brought it up to date. Because as you imagine, from 1997, when it first came out, we didn't have anything in the book about the internet or the online experiences. So we added a chapter about the internet and teens' digital world. We talk mainly to kids, but we've just updated our website as well and went through a whole revision where we've now added chat rooms for teens and then a separate chat room for educators and parents, because we hear from all of these groups. We hear from parents who are asking questions about their teens and what they can and can't do and different rights and responsibilities of teenagers in relation to their parents, parents' responsibilities towards their kids regarding all different types of issues. And we hear from educators and law enforcement people along the same lines, especially with the changing laws. And, the legal system and legislatures are behind when we're talking about technology. They haven't caught up, and they may never caught up because technology happens so quickly and new devices and new programs and software. The courts, the legislators, it's a learning curve for all of us.
For all of us. I know here in the schools in Maine, they issue Apple laptops to the kids in 7th and 8th grade. And, I've been, I have four boys, and we've been witness to that experience. you have no idea what they're going to do online. They take the laptop home, and they're on all these websites at home, so half the stuff is disabled now as we've gone forward through the years of having these laptops in the schools and so forth.
Yeah.
But
well, that's what's created so many issues for school administrators and teachers and principals is the question,
Facebook.
You know, and oh, Facebook, all the different networking. Teachers, school administrators are wrestling continuously with the issue, especially, as you mentioned, when the schools issue laptops. I'm sure there's a written agreement that the parents and the students signed about the use of it, abuse of it, and what the consequences may be up to expulsion if they abuse having the laptop, even when they take it home. I mean, I think when we talked before, I had mentioned to you, I think, 3 or 4 cases of where students had done something online or on their cell phone away from school, not even during the school day, maybe not even using a school computer or school equipment, and they got disciplined by the school for what they did, maybe at home on Sunday on their grandmother's computer, and they were disciplined by the school. And the legal system is wrestling with that as well as the school administrators, because the question is, the bottom line is, can a school discipline a student for their online speech when they're not in school? And the courts have split. We've got state and federal courts who've said yes, they can discipline and supported what the school has done, whether it's an in-school or out-of-school suspension or even expulsion. And then other courts have come down on the other side and recognizing the free speech and freedom of expression rights of students to do the things that they've done away from school, even though it's posts that they've written about the principal or about teachers or about other students. So I think the 3 or 4 cases that I mentioned to you before, they have now been, in one sense, resolved, because the Supreme Court last October and then this past January declined to hear all 4 cases. They had an opportunity. It was before them. They could have just accepted one of those 4, and I really thought they would. But they, without a statement or explanation, they declined to hear or consider the appeals of those 4 students, 4 different cases. So we're still left now with split decisions among courts across the country.
And what does that mean? So when you have split decisions across the courts, across the country,
well, what it,
in the courts
what it
across
means,
the country.
Yeah, what it means is, since the court denied or declined to hear those cases, it leaves in place the last decision of the court just below the U.S. Supreme Court. So the decisions of the 4 lower courts remain in place.
Okay.
And those were in favor of, it went both ways, of the school and its discipline, or against the school and in favor of the student. Okay. And it seems to, a lot of people argue that, it seems to be that what has happened is that students who go after teachers and create, for example, a phony Facebook page criticizing or making fun or ridiculing a teacher or an administrator, unless it constitutes, under the criminal laws, what's called a true or actual threat to do harm to that person, then the adults, the administrators and teachers and principals, are expected to have thicker skin, and decisions have gone against the school's discipline. But when a student creates a phony or fake Facebook or MySpace profile and goes after classmates, then
look out.
Discipline by the school has been upheld, has been approved.
Can't imagine
so
doing any of that, really.
It's interesting.
But it does. I guess it does happen.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it does. It
more than we all realize.
Well, to those listening, what's basically happening now, and feel free to chime in here now, is remember, you know, I'm 40, almost 43. So in my day in high school, it would be the equivalent of spreading a rumor verbally, or writing a note verbally, or writing a note on a piece of paper and passing it around about somebody or something like that. Not that I ever did that, but I'm saying that that's, you know, it's like spreading a rumor. Only now what kids do is they go on to Facebook and say, hey, did you hear such and such is doing this or that? Or they may just go right on to somebody else's Facebook and go, hey, you're fat, hey, you're ugly, hey, you have, I know my child has red hair. So from that one show, I can't even remember the name of it, where they pick on everybody with red hair. You know, my kid had a little bit of that, you know, a few years ago.
Right.
So, you know, it's the equivalent of just attacking people online or bullying people online, where maybe it used to be even a fist fight or a fight
mm-hmm.
or a rumor or a note or whatever people might do. Maybe even alienate the person and not talk to them in school and make them feel so bad, you know, that, you know,
exactly.
And now that's what they do online. They alienate people or attack people so badly online because they're gay or whatever that, you know, people are killing themselves over this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, the bullying, because it is 24/7 and oftentimes you can't trace it to who's doing it. It's around the clock. It's cell phone. It's and kids. Too many kids today.
Too,
they
yeah,
they go to bed with their cell phone because they don't want to miss that important 3 a.m. text. So they can be bullied by text message while they're asleep. I mean, then they'll hear it. They'll read it. And it's too, you know, a lot of the advice is don't read further. You know, if you see you're getting a bullied message, attack on your person or your reputation at school, you know, a mean-spirited, cruel message. A lot of the safety tips on different websites recommend, well, don't read further. But that's, you know, I think pretty much against human nature. You know, they say walk away from the computer, but it's hard. It's so easy to say that and very difficult to follow.
Where this topic gets me juiced up. I can tell. I can feel my blood boiling.
I know.
What process, Sylvie, I'm going to calm down a little bit, but take a deep breath.
I have to.
You do, because it's infuriating.
Well, there's just too much of this going on.
It's hard to, we've had some of it in the house. We haven't had mean stuff come in, but we've had one of our kids get texted with, like, near-naked photos of, you know, almost like sexting, like, hey, look at me, you know, kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, we've, and
right.
thank goodness my son didn't, you know, pass it along to anybody. Oh,
mm-hmm.
holy cow. But
That's
what
good.
I'm,
That's
where
good.
My mind goes is to, let's say there are two kids in school, and they really don't like each other, and one of them sends a text that says, I'm going to beat the living crap out of you after school today, 4 o'clock, don't walk near here, blah, 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 blah. Is that illegal?
It may be. It could constitute a crime depending on your particular state's criminal code, what the laws are in your state. You'd have to look to the laws to see how is threat, for example, how is assault defined under your state laws. Every state has its own set of criminal laws that apply to juveniles and adults. It's not a uniform set, so the definition of, for example, trespassing or assault can differ slightly from state to state.
Right.
So you have to look to your state laws to see. But in a situation like that, the person who receives that message should not ignore it, should not keep it to themselves, thinking they're the only one being picked on. That happens far too often. The kids internalize the bullying, the threats. They keep it to themselves. They don't tell anybody, and then it escalates. And then even worse is if they respond to the bully and acknowledge the bully's presence and control. I mean, there's so many things that kids can do and parents, but the first thing they really need to do is tell somebody that they trust, whether it's a guardian, a grandmother, an aunt, uncle, parent of a best friend. You know, depending on their living situation, they need to let somebody know. A counselor at school that they trust, a teacher or the principal or vice principal. Somebody needs to know to be able, because if you don't know, you can't help. You know, there's too many instances where it's not reported. And as you said, it has in the past led to tragedy. We had another suicide 2 weeks ago.
It breaks my heart.
Of a 14-year-old. I know. We've had, that I'm aware of, we've had 5 this year, kids who have committed suicide because of severe repetitive bullying online or by cell phone. And it's avoidable. It can be prevented if they don't internalize it and keep it to themselves. You know, they try to do something reporting it. But, you know, there's also cases where It is reported. There's a lawsuit that was filed last month in April, actually just about 10 days ago. And I really commend, we wrote a post about this girl on our site. Alex Boston is her name, and the reason I say her name is because she has agreed, and we really commend her for her taking a stand, you know, not just being the victim or a bystander of bullying. She's decided, she and her parents, to go public with her story so they can put an end to this. And what they're doing, and you don't want this to happen in any situation, but there was a fake Facebook page created by some kids at school a year ago. She reported it. She told her parents right away. Happened about her. Yes, and they made statements on the website about alleging that she smoked marijuana, that she used a made up language called retardish. You know, there's an effort nationally to eliminate from our language the R word in the first place, but they use that in this site. They bloated her face up. You know, they did some work online with that as far as touching her up to make her look ugly,
heavier,
and different sexual references, and they posted a racist video supposedly that she was made, and her comment when she was interviewed by the press was that, you know, I was crying, it was hard to go to school the next day. And that shouldn't be the case. And this happened a year ago in Georgia, where there aren't strong or at least enforced laws about bullying and cyberbullying. There's efforts underway now. But they couldn't, they turned to the school. They weren't able to get any help from the school because the school said this is happening off campus. It's not happening at school. It's not happening on school computers. They turned to law enforcement. Law enforcement told the family that we can't do anything. We don't have any laws to lean on. We don't have anything to file. And Facebook, it took them a year
to reach Facebook customer support
to take the
it?
Site down. They didn't. Yeah. They didn't take the site down until just recently, in the last 2 weeks, because the family filed a lawsuit against two of her classmates and their parents. And that's what
it's amazing.
Took.
It has to come to that. Like you couldn't reason with the parents saying, hey, I don't think, you'd like us creating one of these about your kid. Can't we all agree to take that down? As you were talking, her name is, what is her name again?
Alex.
A-L-E-X,
Boston.
Boston, okay.
You were talking
about Alex. Yeah, if you
just Google her name, you'll see all the stories online.
I will.
I think you can even bring up a copy of the lawsuit that was filed.
Yeah.
Is available online. So it's, of course, it's still in litigation. Nothing's been proven. But this is the basis of the lawsuit against these two classmates and their parents.
Well, as you were talking about her, what was coming to my mind was, and make it right or make it wrong or make it whatever it is, but here's what came to my mind is, is she sitting there going, what exactly did I do to, deserve a Facebook page being made about me? Is she sitting there baffled going, why did somebody do that to her? Is she wondering what she did?
Well, sure.
Like,
kids are singled out every day for something. We all went through it. You're either too tall,
you're
too short. Your color, your hair, everyone's been teased, maybe not taunted, but at least teased, given nicknames. That's sort of maybe human nature when you're in school. Yeah, we all were for something.
I used to be just teased for having a chest when I was in fourth grade. You stuff your bra. I can only imagine the Facebook page that would have been created for that one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
No, I know. It's easy to pick out a kid and then do that. And now, because you don't have to be face-to-face in the 6 to 7 hours that you are together at school, on the school ground, in the halls, in classes, because you can bully somebody and pick them out away from school. You can do it any time of the day, and there's so many different ways of doing it now because of technology, because of the cyber world.
So let me ask you this, because my mind still can't wrap around it. What makes that legal? Is it so? It's just like you're protected under free speech. If I want to go say somebody's, fat and ugly, you can technically I wouldn't do that, but you could technically do that because you're protected sort of under free speech. I don't get what makes that
right.
even remotely
legal. Well, we explain to kids that write into us, and we talk a lot about the First Amendment rights and responsibilities on Ask the Judge, because we get those questions just like what you just asked. People want to know where is the line? What if we cross the line? We know there's going to be consequences, but where is the line? You know, what can I say and get away with, and what is going to put me in jeopardy of a civil lawsuit or criminal prosecution? And the thing about the First Amendment is, as far as free speech, and is that free speech is not absolute for anyone, adult or teen. It doesn't mean you can say anything at any time about or to anyone. There are limits. And when you cross the line, that's when you're in jeopardy. That's when liability attaches, as they say. So, I mean, the old expression about you can't stand up in a crowded theater and yell fire. I mean, you have the right to do that, but there's going to be consequences. Because if you do that, there's going to be a stampede, people are going to be injured, and when you did it, you do it as a prank, and you know what is going to happen, then you're responsible for any injuries or property damage. So there is a limit. We tell kids that all the time, that you cannot do certain things that you know in advance that it's going to cause someone harm, or it constitutes a threat, an actual threat of physical or mental harm to somebody. So you know, bullying, cyberbullying is defined as the repeated. There has to be repetition, maybe a one-time comment or statement, and nothing following that just one time most likely isn't going to get the attention of your local district attorney or county attorney. Because it just happens every day, thousands and thousands of times. It's when a victim or a target has been selected, and it's continuing repetitious taunting or bullying online or in person. Yeah. That's when something needs to be done.
Yeah, the key word there with the continuous and the repetition, you know, like somebody, you know, I think there was a period of time there where I didn't want to go to school for a while because it was always in the playground, you know, that kind of thing. But I never felt like I was going to be harmed. I just, in a physical sense, I just felt like I was going to be teased, which is in a mental sense. So it's very interesting too, between the mental and the physical. You know, I was thinking about asking you this question. I'm going to go ahead and ask it. What do you think would happen in school if instead of teaching anti-bullying classes, we taught civility and tolerance classes?
I think that'd be great. And if it started in kindergarten, all the better. I mean, the sooner the better. Because, I mean, you know, you've got four sons. I don't know how old the youngest is, but he was
10.
2 and 3 at one time. And I have seen, I have a grandson who is 2 years old. And I have seen him at... We were out to dinner not long ago, and at the restaurant, his father passed his smartphone over to him. And this is a two-year-old sitting in a high chair, and he is playing a game on the smartphone. You know, it was so cute to see these little – it was cute,
Be
but
the
at
monster,
the same time,
yeah.
I was amazed at his ability. He knew how to use his fingers and get around and slide across the screen to do what he wanted. 2 years old. And I thought, okay, that is when, the word that you hear is netiquette. That is when parents need to start teaching, of course, age appropriate, but need to start the lessons at home for responsible and respectful communication with people. And even when you're using these devices, these gadgets, you've got to learn. And if it's taught at home from day one when the kid gets his Fisher-Price cell phone or computer or keypad, they will carry that with them. They'll learn that's the way it is. So then when they start school, whether it's preschool or kindergarten or first grade, when they start school, the school can reinforce the lessons that should be taught at home. It shouldn't be started in school. Teachers have enough. They have a really difficult job. It's even more difficult today than when we were in school. Because there's so much more. I mean, the issues, we get questions daily from students and teachers about cell phones in class. What can I do? Oh, my teacher took the cell phone and says I'll get it at the end of the day or the end of the week, or I have to wait till the end of the semester before I get it back. We get those questions regularly, and schools developed, you know, a policy, you know, a respectable use policy or what's called an acceptable use policy about devices at school. But kids should come to school, this is my point, come to school with these ingrained in them, how to communicate with others, whether it's on your cell phone or computer or on your or on Facebook, how to do it, and considering at all times when you post or you write something or you upload a photo, you have to think about the other person and possible consequences of what you're doing, because as we all know, once it's out there, you can't get it back. It's there forever.
Okay,
no matter how many times you hit delete or trash, it's out there. You don't know if someone's put it in their own file or created a folder. I mean, it's out there, and it can come back to bite you 10, 15, 20 years later. And it's happening. Those things are happening now. So,
well,
suggestion.
Well, one of the things I've noticed is that often I notice it in our own house, and when we sort of have been very conscious of this. I think I said that right. Conscious of this, because the kids, their technology is so much more sophisticated than what we as 42-year-old and 54-year-old were raised with. Our kids don't even know what a phone is that plugs into the wall. Like, I'm speaking on to you right now. The phone for radio, the phone I'm talking to you on has a cord and it plugs into the wall. It's not, my kids are 10, 12, 14, and 16, and they kids under the age of probably 20, they don't pick up the phone and call people anymore. It is rare. Mm-hmm. Like, my kids don't even talk to their grandparents, talking like this. They text their grandparents, and thank goodness my mom is savvy and texts them back. It's almost like in order to really fully engage and communicate with your kids and be on their level, you have to be texting, you have to be on Facebook, you have to be on Twitter, and you have to be on the Internet with them, or you have no clue what they're doing.
Oh, exactly. That's one thing when I speak to adults that I try to put the point across to them. They need to tech up. They need to. They're never going to surpass their kids when it comes to technology.
Nope.
Because the kids learn so quickly, and they want the latest devices and the 4G and all of that. But the parents have to get close to being on the same page. Otherwise, if you don't know your way around the computer or the cell phone, how can they adequately supervise or monitor their kids? I mean, there's too many parents who don't know. Maybe they prefer looking the other way because ignorance is bliss, that they don't know what their kids are doing. I mean, the tragic suicide.
So they don't even like it. Like, I know some women in the neighborhood, they're like, I don't even go on the computer. And I'm like, okay, you have three kids and you're not on the computer. How are you monitoring their Facebook? Because, my kids, in order to have a Facebook, it was mandatory. I said, guess what, guys? I'm your buddy. I'm your friend.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay that way until you turn about 18, maybe 21, because I'm going to monitor your accounts, guys. And
well,
your cell phones are in my name.
That's what needs to be
I
done.
Pay the bill.
I mean, and if you start that, if you instill that in them at a very young age, they'll know what to expect. They know what the rules of the house are. You know, so it's not a surprise. It's not an invasion of. You can still respect their privacy at the same time monitor what's coming in and going out, because too many kids fear. If they're being bullied and it starts and they don't want to tell mom and dad, because what are mom and dad going to do? They're going to take my cell phone away. They're going to take my computer away or shut down my Facebook account. That's the last thing teens today or even tweens want. Yeah, I mean, they don't want that. So they don't tell their parents. But if you build that trust early on and the kids understand, they're not going to lose those devices. They're not going to be shut down their social life because of that's a major part of kids' social life today is texting and Facebook. And it's not going to be taken away or restricted because you're being bullied. Mom and dad are here to check me and, you know, they'll do their job.
Do you know where I can't check my kids? And there's a huge gap. And I don't. And I'm wondering, Judge Tom, do you have an Xbox handle? Do you have a Turtle Beach headset? And are you talking? My kids, we have an Xbox cave downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've ever been on Xbox, but the Xbox now. So, like, you know the old Atari, like we played Pong and whatever else
right.
we played on Atari.
Right.
Well, all the games now are all live. So I put a headset on, and you talk just like you and I are talking on the phone right now, only you
right.
play your video game at the same time. So you talk to everybody around the country who is playing with you
at the same time. Right.
On your headset, on your Turtle Beach headset or on your Bluetooth. We've got PS3 and we've got Xbox. And every once in a while, I will hear one heck of a choice swear word come out of my kid from downstairs in the video. You know, I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? But, you know, there is so much technology. Do you think our kids are on technology overwhelm and our parents on technology overwhelm?
I think a lot of them are. I don't think we could say yes to that across the board because I know families here in where I live that even with high school, we had a senior high school student that worked with us a good part of last year as an intern, mm-hmm. and she was not on Facebook. I mean, the rules of her house until she's out and goes to college, she wasn't on Facebook. She wasn't online a lot, and just a great kid, good grades. I mean, just very, very active life, but that was a restriction that her parents put on it. So I don't think we can generalize and say that everyone is, because there's a lot of families, as you probably know, who don't even have or allow TV in the house, or maybe
right.
limited to certain channels or limited to certain selected movies or Netflix choices, you know, that type of thing, but not just regularly, you know, you can watch any of the 600 channels that come into our house without any supervision or overview by the parents.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a good percent of people that a lot of people just are so busy, they're not paying attention enough to what their kids are doing and their online life. I was going to mention that about 8 months ago, Jamie Rodemeyer, I don't think we talked about him.
We didn't talk about Jamie Rodemeyer, no.
Yeah, he's the young teen in New York, Buffalo, New York, who committed suicide. He
yeah.
was gay, and his parents did what they thought was right beforehand. They did monitor. They knew his Facebook account, handle and his password, so they were able to monitor his Facebook, you know, communications. However, they didn't know that, and this is like a lot of kids, you know, who wise up and want to have, they have a second Facebook account. In Jamie's case, he had two other accounts where most of the bullying, the anti-gay bullying, was going on Tumblr and Formspring. They had no idea that those accounts even existed, so they weren't able to go to them and see what was being said to their son. So you parents really need to tech up.
Did they know he was gay?
Yes. Yeah,
oh,
he came out and created a video. Yeah, they did.
That's right, okay.
In fact, the boy who died 2 weeks ago on April 15th, he came out the month earlier. He came out in February or March to his parents and everyone, and then the bullying started online. Someone created a hate group on Facebook directed at him and his friends, and he got death threats. So he decided to, you know, take his own life on April 15th, and it's just, you know, it's things like this that they're not necessarily 100% preventable, but if parents knew what was going on, they could take action to maybe prevent
maybe
it. You know,
help.
You
maybe
never know
prevent.
When someone makes that decision, you never really know what was the final trigger, what put them over and caused them to do, you know, to take their life. But, you know, when you find out that the person's been bullied up to a minute or two before they take their life, then you know it contributes to their decision.
Now, what keeps Alex alive? What's the difference in her mindset that she's got going on? What are some things that keep her from committing suicide?
Well, I think in part it's because she did. As soon as she discovered that this site was created, making fun of her and distorting her photograph and everything else, all the cruel things that were added, she immediately reported it to her parents. So she's had all along the support of her parents in trying to stop this and trying to get the page taken down, and the support of friends, families, and especially her family. And she was interviewed a few days ago, and she said, "I just don't want this to happen to anyone else."
Horrible. I've seen her.
Yeah.
Do you think it's sometimes because people are just so cute, they want to take them down? Because I saw her. I think this is a little – if it's not her, there's another girl out there having the same issues, because the girl I saw was on national TV. I think it was her. And she was – my husband and I are like, they're picking on her? Really?
Mm-hmm.
She's adorable. She's precious.
Well, that may be why.
And that might be why.
You know, the popular kid, the head cheerleader, the jock. I mean, everyone is subject. Everyone can become a target, a victim of bullies at school. And you may not even know who that person is because they don't treat you differently at school. It's when they're not at school. And we also have the phenomenon now of kids who are victimized and are targets of bullies. They vent by going home and bullying online others, because that's how they're venting. Okay. So that, I mean, that is something that has happened and is going on. It's just, you know, it's never ending. It's a snowball effect. But
so let's do this. Maybe let's spend. I got to take a deep breath again.
It's exasperating. It really is.
It really is, because, you know, you want to save the world, especially when it comes to kids and people being mean to kids. And, you know, everybody deserves to live in peace and be peaceful. But can you give us maybe, it might end up being 10 things even if we have to write them down and think of them as we go here, if you've got something. But can you give us 5, maybe 10 things that we as parents and kids, because, you know, kids aren't the only ones being bullied. Adults get bullied online. I've been bullied online.
Oh,
you know.
No, absolutely.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Let's talk about netiquette for a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe go through maybe 5 or 10 things that we all can do to create a safe, happy environment online for us all. Maybe things you should do and things you shouldn't do. And maybe it's an article we end up writing or something like that. But, you know, what are some things that you can do to stay safe online and to be proper online? Just like sending a thank you note in the old days.
Right, right. Well, I think a lot of it really goes back to our basic values, things we learned as kids, either in school, in church, or at home from our parents and grandparents about being respectful. And what does that mean? How do you translate that little saying about, you know, it's like Ellen says at the end of every show, be kind to one another. That pretty much sums it up. I've heard her say that. Well, I think she ends almost every show. I've watched that.
Be kind to one another. Yep.
Be kind to one another. That's really what it comes down to. And I think for teens and tweens today, and this is the problem, and I see it in other areas that we discuss on the website about consequences and being aware that the very nature of a teen's mind and, you know, physiological development of the adolescent brain is not fully developed until, what the doctors are saying now and the research scientists, until early 20s. And accepting that, and it's been acknowledged by even our U.S. Supreme Court, and that's why a few years ago they threw out the juvenile death penalty. And then they threw out, a few years ago, juveniles getting life without parole for an offense that they commit when they're a teenager. The court has recognized, and they cited, and this is a very unique thing for the court to do because they don't usually depend on international studies or law, but in these cases, they did cite some research, medical research, psychological, psychiatric research from other countries, and coming down to the conclusion that, yes, it is now proven that the teenage brain is not the same as an adult fully developed brain, that kids are much more impulsive, they're risk takers. You know, this is documented in all of scientific research. So based on all of that, the court has made some major changes in the laws regarding teenagers. And in fact, there's a case that was just argued a month or two ago before the court that will be decided by June, and that is, can a juvenile who was involved in a homicide, well, they can't get the death penalty because that's been thrown out, but can they get life without parole? See, the court decided a few years ago that they cannot get life without a parole in a non-homicide case. But and there were quite a few, even 13-year-olds across the country, that were serving life with no possibility of parole for the rest of their natural life.
You're making a mistake.
Well, the court threw that out, and you know, in non-homicide cases, and now they're considering, and I think they're going to go the same way and throw out that sentence of life without parole in even homicide cases. That's the case that's under consideration right now. So. Wow. Well, how did I get to that? Where were we?
Well, yeah,
No, you were asking me about lessons for kids. So we do have to recognize that the teenagers are so different in their behaviors than adults. So they need to learn these lessons at an early age.
There's adults that never grow up either, though, you know. There's
a lot of
stuff out there.
Well, we see that every week in the news when we see politicians and others in, you know, high-profile type peoples who act foolishly, including judges. There's been a couple of cases recently of federal court judges who have, you know, done some irresponsible sexting, for example, passing on cruel racist jokes.
Yeah.
You know, no one's exempt. No one's excluded from these possible irresponsible communications. But it's, I tell
that's
kids,
a good word
they
right
have
there.
To think.
Irresponsible. I think you just used a really, really good word, which, you know, in some people's case, it just might be like irresponsible, like not fully thought out versus like intentionally, you know, harming somebody with a picture of me without. I think there was a judge that just sent out a text of himself with there was an office poll going on that he was hotter than everybody or something like that because, you know, he'd been working out and was all proud, but it wasn't like he was, you know, it wasn't like the Anthony Weiner thing, you know.
Right, right.
It was
totally
different.
No, I saw that story. Right.
You know, but still, it could cross the line of a little bit of irresponsible there with, you know, hey,
well,
it's all over the whole world
right
now.
It makes you wonder what's the message he's trying to send, you know, in a situation like that.
Yeah.
I think it was a topless photo of himself from the waist up he sent to his bailiff. And his bailiff is married, and, you know, her husband got very upset about it.
Yeah.
You know, it is. It's all about thinking about who you're writing to. Not that you're intentionally targeting somebody, but, you know, and that's the issue with kids. They're not only risk takers, they aren't mature enough to think about possible consequences. What could happen if the wrong person saw this, or the person that I'm sending it to is offended and it's reported, you know? And even if it doesn't get to that point, is it ethically, is it the right thing to do? You know, a lot of things are not necessarily illegal, but they may be unethical. It's not the right thing to do for any number of reasons. So, you know, I try to tell kids when we speak with them online or when we address classes to think before you post, before you click. Think about possible consequences. A lot of the kids that get it, in fact, I may have mentioned this before, but every teenager that I interviewed for Teen Cyberbullying Investigated, every single one of them told me that had they known in advance what would happen, what the consequences would be at school, at home, on the job, they wouldn't have done what they did. They wouldn't have posted that photo or made up that, you know, MySpace or Facebook profile of the principal. They wouldn't have done these things had they thought ahead. But because of the underdevelopment of the teen brain, they don't think about consequences. They're only, you know, teenagers aren't really thinking too far beyond this Friday night's dance or football game.
Prom's coming up. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, that since you mentioned that, can I just real quickly say something?
Oh, yeah, we're going to have you on more. I know we're like, we only have an hour, but, you know, we'll just bring you on next month, too. And because I just think this is such an important topic to keep on going with because it's so prevalent.
Well, you know, there's a lot of good going on, too. I mean, our website not, it's about everything from A to Z in a teen's life, not just bullying or cyberbullying. That's a good part of it because it's such a big part of a teen's life today, what's going on in the cyber world. But we post stories and positive stories, and you know, we have a feature that we talk about teen rock stars. We call them Ask the Judge rock stars, kids who are doing great, great. In fact, along the lines of bullying, we posted this last week. A high school in Texas, a teacher got interested because she felt bad for some incoming freshmen who were just almost the first day, the first week of school, were singled out as nerds or, you know, somebody that's different, looks different, dresses different, may speak different with an accent or something, and were going to be bullied. So this teacher recruited a number. I mean, I really respect this teacher. She came up with the idea of, let's see if we can get some of the kids at the other end of the social spectrum at school to help us out here. So she recruited three or four of the high school football players to become what they call at that school bully guards. And they do is they meet the kid on the first day of school. They will meet him after each class, walk him down the hallways to the next class. You know, and they actually, in the story that we read, they became friends because the football players realized, well, first of all, if they have it in their heart to do something like this, it's totally voluntary on their part. And the program now, just this school year, has grown. And starting the fall semester coming up, there's 18 football players signed up to become bully guards for incoming freshmen. I mean, that's just a great, great program
great
that can
idea,
be repeated
yeah.
in every school and make that
or with new kids moving
life
in.
So much. Well, exactly. You know, or kids that are transferring, going to a new school, all the different reasons that you're starting your first day of school alone. You don't know anybody. So, you know, this is just a great program to eliminate all of the frustration and anxiety that kids go through on that first day or first week.
Yeah.
So we post those stories when we come across it. And, you know, like this time of year, you made me think of it because you mentioned prom. We just posted some stories about prom stories. And, I mean, you know, that brings in the law. I mean, because we're a law, teen law related site. And almost everything is based in law is somehow, even the prom. Because there have been a couple of incidents in the last month where teens in one case, you can imagine this. I mean, being from Maine, you may not be as sensitive to the Confederate flag as someone in the South. But there was a girl in Tennessee, her first name actually is Texana, in Tennessee, who showed up at her senior prom a week ago wearing a dress she made that looked like the Confederate flag.
Yes.
And
it made
the
CNN too. Robin Mead had it on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It went all
okay.
up. Yeah, no, it was just on. It was on CNN. The middle. Her gown was silver, but the middle part of her gown was a sash made out of that looked like the Confederate flag. So the whole dress sort of looked.
She was turned away. You know, that whole issue of the American flag. I mean, the Confederate flag has been in the courts for years, and the courts have, for the most part, come down. And this is all based on the Tinker case of 1969. If someone does something at school that's going to disrupt the school environment or interfere with a student's rights, the school can clamp down, can prevent it the best way they can. So they told Texana that you cannot come into the prom. You can go home, change, and come back, and then we'll let you in. And I guess she decided not to.
I think the year before she wore a camouflage dress, too. But, yeah, I was wondering, I'm like, so I wondered myself, I'm like, so now we're going to tell people what they can and can't, you know, wear. I kind of thought, well, maybe she's just trying to draw attention to herself to make the news. Maybe she did it unintentionally.
That's possible.
And it,
today,
you know,
of course. Everybody wants
to
make that.
It.
Yeah, they're 15 minutes. Everybody wants to make that viral video and become famous, you know, and want these offers and get on the Today Show and all of that. Yeah. You know, and there was another case last week, and this was resolved, thank goodness, but a girl, Amanda, in Pennsylvania, goes to a Catholic high school. And she went to the trouble. She had a date. She went ahead and bought the $95 ticket to the prom. That really surprised me. That's the expense today.
Ours were 50 here in Maine, yeah.
Yeah, and she, well, same thing then. And she went ahead and spent, they estimated, about $1,000 on her dress and accessories and everything else.
Is that right?
The week before the prom, her date backed out. And
that's just happened to one of my son's friends.
Yeah, but is he still able to go to the prom? The Amanda school said you can't go to the prom by yourself. You have to have a date. That was the Catholic Archdiocese policy, that there were events throughout the school year, dances, et cetera, where you can go without a date. But the prom, they consider a special event. You cannot go unless you have a date. And I'm hoping that's a policy that changes in that school system, in that archdiocese.
I don't remember that in high school. I don't remember that ever being some written rule or anything like that. You go to the prom, if you wanted to go to the prom, stand there for all anybody cares.
Oh, that's a pretty significant
event, yeah.
It's a very significant event in a teen's life, junior and senior prom, absolutely. Yeah. And it shouldn't be denied them when they're good students. They follow all the rules. They do everything right.
You just can't find a date or something happens, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think I know
Bring
one of my sons.
Bring
he went with
a
group
mom.
Of friends. It's, you know, but then we also added another story. We came across a story about a girl in Missouri who has made the news regarding prom because for the last 3 years she wants to be a fashion designer. She has made her own prom dress.
Right.
And the first year we put a picture of this on the site. She made it out of Dorito bags. Her last year, her dress was made out of pop top tops from soda cans that she somehow laced together thousands of these. She said it took her 100 hours to do this dress. And then this year's dress for this year's senior prom, she made it out of cardboard. So, I mean, very, very creative. I'm sure she does have a future.
Yeah, but, you know, those are cases, too, where it doesn't seem like you're really hurting anybody. You know, there's a difference between, but now if a Facebook page came out and said, oh, my God, did you see her Dorito bag dress? She's so blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
Then that's bullying. You know,
some who would criticize her for it. Sure. Take her to task for being creative.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, there are positive stories. You mean on the bullying
amazing.
Subject. There's a lot of positive stories. Kids across the country who are writing songs, performing songs, writing poems or plays and, you know, school theater productions, all anti-bullying based to get the message across. They're all doing their bit to help in this struggle against this epidemic that can turn tragic. There was a story last week. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Is it a case where, and I don't mean a specific case, I mean, is bullying a case where people say, it'll never happen in my community. It'll never happen to my kid.
Yeah. Shockingly, I have heard school teachers and administrators make that statement in recent stories, recent news. Not in my school. Bullying does not go on in my school. Not just you know, traditional bullying or cyberbullying. They're in complete, it's either a combination of a complete ignorance or complete denial. Because I don't think there's a school, unless the school has just two kids, two students, maybe that school doesn't have any bullying. But every other school does. It happens to a degree. It may not be, you know, so serious to the point where a meeting needs to be called or law enforcement gets involved or whatever. But it does go on. And for a teacher in a school of hundreds or even thousands of students to make that kind of statement, and I have heard it recently.
Oh, I've heard it too. I hear it
it's
here.
It's foolish.
Not in our school. Nothing happens like that.
No,
like,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's
I don't believe it.
Right.
And not by the people, not by the educators, but I've even heard it from my own kids. Well, that, you know, doesn't really happen. And I'm just like, well, maybe it's just not happening to you, but, you know, like, you can rest assured with that many kids in a school, something's happening somewhere.
Sure.
Let me ask you this next question. Does bullying pick and choose demographics, economics, and so forth, or is it across the gamut? Does it matter if you're rich, poor, in a suburb, in a city, or is it everywhere?
No, I think it's the latter. It's everywhere. I don't think in all the studies that I've seen and reports, even out of this country, the European groups that are fighting bullying and cyberbullying, it's students can pick on students for any reason. And you can be picked on because you are a rich kid, but you're not the majority of students on campus, but you happen to be a rich kid or you drive a certain car. You could be picked on or bullied for that, especially if you're not physically, you know, demanding a presence because you're not 6 foot plus 250 pounds. That person may not be picked on face to face. They could still be bullied online or by cell phone. But I've never read any study where it's a demographic or it's a monetary. It's the parents, you know, the family's financial status in the community. It's across the board.
When we were kids, it seemed to be if you were a girl and you slipped up and you slept with somebody and it spread like wildfire,
right?
The whole team knew or whatever, you know what I mean? When we were kids, it seemed like that was what it was about. You were going to get picked on if you kissed somebody, slept with somebody, drank too much, you know, that type of thing. What do kids get picked on for now? Is it just for being gay or do kids... What are five of the things that kids get picked on for these days?
Well, I mean, there's a thing that's called in the law appearance discrimination. It's where somebody, adult or teen, gets picked on in one way or the other, either by being left out, you know, exclusion, or being directly attacked for anything. It's not just gay. Of course, the gay student, you know, I've heard that one of the loneliest people in the world is a gay high school student, whether they've come out or not. And I think there's something to that. I mean, you can imagine if you're gay and you're out, then you're going to be, it's like this boy a couple of weeks ago in, I think it was Indiana, the one I mentioned that you know, took his life on April 15th. You know, he came out, and because he came out, he was a bigger target. It got worse. Online, personal threats, it got worse. And it drove him over the edge, unfortunately. But I don't think it's just being gay, because the gay population is a small population of students across the country. It's you're being picked on because you look
different.
For
whatever, right?
You wear, for whatever reason, kids single somebody out or exclude them.
Okay.
And it's... You know, my home life is bad. I don't like it. So I feel better when I take it out on somebody else. And here's this person who's not going to fight back. They're vulnerable. They're a target. And they're going to keep it to themselves just because I can tell by their nature and the way they conduct themselves at school. Here is a very good target for us to go after. You know, me individually or me and my friends. You know, we create a cyber mom type of situation. So... Yeah, I don't think you can narrow it down to one demographic. Is, you know, these are the ones that are being mistreated. Yeah, the case I was talking about was of Kenneth Wiesen, who died a couple weeks ago in Iowa. You know, 14 years old.
Iowa,
who just came out, you know, the month before he came out, and then all of a sudden there's a hate group against him and his friends on Facebook and death threats.
Jeez.
So it's, you know, and yet... There are very, very sound, responsible, respectful programs across the country, like GLSEN and the Trevor Project, who are there 24/7. You know, you can remain anonymous counseling online, one-to-one by trained professionals or trained peers for the LGBT community. But it
doesn't
always.
I'm going to run this show a little bit longer so we can wind up. I know we're getting a note in our ear here for those listening. We're about at that hour mark. But I'm going to take us 5 more minutes out a little bit so we can kind of wind down the conversation, because I don't want to interrupt you. But keep going.
No, that's fine. I understand.
Yeah, no. It's So you think you can be bullied, you know, anybody can be bullied, but the main point for everyone listening is if bullying is going on, where should we go? Where should we turn to? What should we do?
Well, I think the key thing is you don't keep it to yourself. You have to tell somebody. If you're an adult and it happens in the workplace, you have to tell somebody. I mean, otherwise, how's it going to stop? The bully thinks, hey, I'm getting away with it. Nothing's happened. I've been doing this for a month. Student thinks the same thing. Nothing's coming down on me. There's no consequences. And so I'm getting away with this. It's to tell.
And if I'm a tattletale,
tell somebody
is it
that you
get
trust.
Worse?
Pardon me?
If I'm a tattletale, if I say, you know, Joe over there is picking on me, is it going to get worse?
It's not going to get
any
worse.
Am I going to be protected?
Then if you don't tell. If you don't tell, it's going to continue and it's going to escalate. And then maybe others will join in and then you've got the cyber mob coming after you. If you tell, that could, and in many cases, it's handled on a one-to-one basis. If you tell your parents don't have to just automatically pick up the phone and call the police. Because the police may not do anything. I mean, because they have to prioritize their calls and their investigations and all criminal activities. But if you tell your parents, and the parents approach the person that you tell is bullying you, they approach that kid and his or her parents. It's often resolved that way. I got caught, my parents have come down on me, and it ends. But, you know, the student has to tell somebody, whether it's a school counselor, and hopefully they don't have that same experience as Alex Boston had when the school didn't do enough and didn't do almost anything over the past year, just like law enforcement in this little Georgia town. But now there's a major legislative effort to pass a bill, a bullying and a cyberbullying bill in Florida. I mean, in Georgia, and this is what it takes. Somebody has to go public. You've got to talk to somebody.
Right.
You know, that's really the key thing, because it's just going to make you physically ill, and the mental anguish I can't even imagine. If you keep this and it's going on a daily basis and you keep it to yourself and don't tell anyone. I mean, just, you know, think about in your own personal life. When you share something with somebody, whether it's sad or it's a matter of joy or something, you feel good about sharing it. I think that's just human nature. But if something's horrible going on and you keep it to yourself, it's just going to eat you up.
Well, it's so interesting that you say that. It could even be, like in the adult world, it could be like a job loss or a death of a parent or something like that. And if you don't communicate with other people about what's going on that makes you sad, or, you know, even if you're an adult and you're getting bullied online, if you don't have someone to talk to, it eats you up.
Right. Oh, I mean, it's just like anyone, in my opinion, anyone who has gone to counseling for any reason, I don't think the reason makes any difference. I think probably 9 times out of 10, after that 50 to 60-minute session with your counselor, you feel better. And it may not only last a few minutes, it may last an hour, but when you leave your counselor's office, you feel better. You've shared something. You've talked to an hour with someone who cares and is not judgmental. There's really something. I mean, really something to counseling.
Yeah.
But when a teenager keeps it in, and too many of these kids that we've lost over the last 5-10 years kept it to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's a horrible existence, but it's avoidable.
Yeah. Before we end, I wanted to ask you, why are you so involved with all of this? What made you, you know, 36 and some years ago, get involved with all of this?
Well, I think growing up in a big family and then having 5 kids of my own, you know, who are now in their 30s, and just, I just love kids. And I think what I see what they're capable of, and, you know, without all of these roadblocks that they need to learn to get over, and they can. You know, I think I just really have a passion for educating kids about their future, their life, what they can do, and, you know, and that they can eliminate barriers regardless of what level of society they come from.
What can we do to support you? What else?
Kids and
what
grandkids.
Can we do? Yeah, what can we do to help
probably
you?
Probably the best thing is to get the word out for people to go on our site. It's a free site. We plan on keeping it free. There's no membership or subscription. We exist by paid advertising and sponsorships on the site. That's the only way we exist. We're developing a resource directory because we get a lot of questions from people around the country about, I need somebody in our community to work with my son or daughter, or we're looking into a summer camp program or
nice.
Further education, you know, the different advanced placement courses. We get all kinds of questions, and we try to refer them to, but we have a resource directory state by state. So if we get some paid advertisers on that from all of the states, from the services that are available to family and teenagers and tweens, all the better. I mean, we can better serve our audience. So
well,
that's
for retiring. You're going to be busier in retirement than you ever were as a judge.
Well, I think I am. I am, but it's totally enjoyable. And my partner is Natalie, my daughter, who's in her 30s. And she's a lawyer, and she left her criminal practice 3 years ago to work with me full-time on the site, and it's thoroughly enjoyable. We have the same passion for the subject and the kids, and we just wanted to help them out. And what really keeps us going is the many thank yous that we get. You know, and it's a lot of people put down kids today because they're in their own digital world and they don't really care about anything and they're not reliable, etc. But the majority of kids today are hardworking, responsible, working towards their independence and their future. And we see that because a lot of them will take the time, and it really surprises us, to go after we answer their question, they'll actually take the time to stay online and write us a thank you. Or they'll get back to us if they have to go to court, and they'll tell us what happened or how a certain situation worked out. And that's very rewarding for us.
No, excellent. Yeah, right. And that combined with really hoping to save some lives too,
a life
is a life, you know, with,
exactly.
you know, with bullying and so forth. So as always, just commend you for your efforts and your site, askthejudge.info. And I just appreciate you being with us. I know we've gone over time, and so we need to wind up, but I just want to thank you, and see if you'll come back again maybe in a month
anytime.
Or two. Okay,
sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, just
all right, everybody. Thank you.
We'll make the
thank
time.
You.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Judge Tom Jacobs, everyone, of askthejudge.info. We thank him for being with us today, and please support him. Maybe invite him to your school even, or send in a great story about a child that's in your area. There's tons of ways to get involved with askthejudge.info. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and take care, and we will be on the air on Thursday, I believe, with Shay Vaughn, who is Vince Vaughn's mom and the founder and CEO of Shaynetics. So you can visit her at shaynetics.com. And please, everyone, visit us at besteveryou.com and join our network, bestyounetwork.com. All right, thanks, everybody. Take care and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.